So we thank you, Lord, for this moment. As we have been dwelling upon the journey that you took for our sake in your holy passion. Dear Jesus, we have awakened in us a gratitude of heart for your immense love. Help us at this moment to touch into the beauty, the goodness, the mercy, the fullness of life that we find in you, our Saviour. Thank you, Lord. The most appropriate way to enter into the experience of the Passion is in silence. Maybe this week you'll have that opportunity to just spend some time with Jesus and journey with him to Calvary. Words cannot express the immense love of Christ. We don't have a way of speaking that could possibly give anything more than the cry of Jesus himself on the cross. We have just read from Matthew's Gospel. Matthew follows the way of Mark's Gospel. And of all the four Gospels, Mark was the most primitive. And in both Matthew and Mark, the only words that Jesus speaks from the cross are the ones you just heard, as he cries out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you abandoned me?" Or another translation, my God, why have you deserted me?" Oh, my God, why have you forsaken me?" We're told that there was an eclipse of the sun from noon until 3 p.m. There was darkness over the whole land. But that was simply a cosmic symbol of a deeper darkness in the heart of Christ as he hung on the cross for us. The darkness in his soul. He cries out from the depths of that darkness, that lostness, that sense of abandonment, that alienation that was laid upon him because of our sin. Because that's the consequence of sin. It separates us from God. And Jesus, Paul says, became as sin for our sake on the cross, so that we might become righteous through him. He's quoting Psalm 22, which starts with that verse, but we sang it, did we not, in the responsorial psalm. It ends with a beautiful song of joy and hope. Jesus did not despair on the cross, but he trusted the Father's love until the end. And he was obedient to the Father's will until the end. And there is our salvation. You see, because the sin of the world came as a result of disobedience. Not only Adam and Eve, but we who have been complicit in that sin. We separated ourselves as humanity from God because of our sin. But God in his mercy would not leave us in that state. We had no way of getting back to God. But God the Father sent his only Son to become like us in all things but sin. He, the innocent one then, smashed against the wood of the cross for our sake, so that at that moment of greatest darkness, when he experienced the torture of being separated from the Father in his humanity, even though he remained in union with God in reality, but separated, he cries out from that point of abandonment. We see what sin has done. And we see that we had no way to get back to God. But God in his mercy came to us as God made man. And Jesus hung on the cross for you and for me. He had you in his heart as he hung there. It was like the nails that pinned him to the cross. But it was his love that kept him there. His love for you. He had you in his heart as he hung there. Experiencing excruciating pain of the soul. If you've seen the film The Passion, you would have seen the excruciating pain of the body. From all of the horrendous reality of Roman crucifixion. But in fact, the deeper pain of Christ was the pain in his soul. And the unseen pain that comes out in that phrase, my God, why have you abandoned me? Because he experiences the rottenness of sin, absorbs it all into himself, so that he, the sacrificial lamb, would bear that for our sake. So that from that point of the greatest rottenness of sin, the emptiness and the filth of all the sin of humanity, Jesus makes an act of trust and obedience and makes it possible for us to be free from sin. Praise be to God. Praise be to Jesus Christ. Praise be the fact that we have a Savior who came to us in that way. Not with condemnation, not to smite us from the face of the earth, which we deserved, but rather to redeem us by his graciousness. And so that's the first meaning of those words. My God, why have you abandoned me? He entered into the burden of our sin for our sake and overcame it through his act of obedience to the Father, his trust completely in the Father God. But our gratitude to Jesus goes even beyond this. Because these words have another meaning. And it's summed up in that word, why? Down through human history, men and women have cried out again and again, and there are people here in this assembly who are crying that out in their soul right at this moment. Why? Why have I been asked to suffer like this? Why have I been asked to suffer with an unfaithful husband or an unfaithful wife? Why have I been asked to suffer an unbearable loss of a loved one? Why has it happened that this disaster has come into my life? Why has this terrible catastrophe happened in my life where I lost my job or I lost my business or the bottom's gone out of my life? Why? Again and again, people cry out in deep suffering because much of a life is about suffering. And you see, what is proclaimed to us tonight, whenever we look to Jesus crucified, is that we don't have a God who remained in heaven, looking down benignly at us and sort of saying, oh, poor thing, in a paternalistic way, in your suffering. We have a God who entered into our suffering and took it on himself out of his compassion for us. Suffering has a mystery about it that none of the philosophers could unravel. But it wasn't by argumentation that God has come to us to solve the issue of suffering. He came by putting his own body on the line for our sake. And Jesus entered into the depth of human suffering on the cross. Not only the physical suffering, but even more so the anguish of soul and the emotional rejection that so many experience in their lives and the abandonment and alienation that we experience as a result of dislocated human relationships when so many things go wrong in our lives and we wear this terrible burden within ourselves of the suffering of humanity, our humanity, my humanity. It's very personal. But there's no longer a reason for suffering to destroy us, because now we have Jesus, who hung on that cross for you and for me. And whenever we enter into our own personal suffering, our own cross in life, and united with him, we always have a way through. It's not no longer a cause for despair, but for those who have faith, it always becomes a font of grace, a new source that God gives for me to grow in my own personal life and to be able to bring his presence to others through the compassion that he forms in my heart. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, yes, my God, why have you abandoned me? He's united with the why of humanity in its greatest suffering. And he unites himself with our suffering in great solidarity, being one with us in all the suffering of humanity. This is a great gift. We have gratitude in our hearts for him. Because without Jesus, our suffering would not make any sense. We could not find meaning or purpose in it. We'd be lost. Totally lost without him. I'll tell you one story and then that'll be enough. In the Second World War at the Auschwitz prison camp, there was a Jewish young man, a 14-year-old young man, a very devout Jewish man named Elie Wiesel. And he was taken to the camp, and on the very first night he was there, he saw young children just burning up in a furnace as they were being put to death by the Nazi regime. And he said, at that moment, God died within me. He had previously believed in God, but it was God was murdered, he said, and all of my dreams were turned to dust. And then as it went on in the camp, that state of his soul of desperation became even more, because three prisoners were accused of sabotage against the power station. They were brought out before all of the assembled prisoners on the parade ground, and there were gallows set up, three gallows for hanging. And the three of them were put up. Two of them were grown men. The other was a young boy. And they put the noose around their necks and kicked out the chair from underneath. And they're hanging there. Well, the men died quickly because they had to wait for it to happen. But the little boy didn't die. He was hanging there, gurgling, his eyes glazed, his whole face distorted in anguish. And the rope was still moving as he hung there. He couldn't die. And they marched them past to watch this grotesque scene before their very eyes. And a man behind Eli said, "Where is God now?" As they watched this little boy trying to die. And Eli said, "He's up there with that boy. That's where he is." And what he meant by that is that God is dead. But in fact, Eli didn't know it, but he spoke the truth, because that is the truth, that God was up there with that little boy. That's the meaning of what we celebrate today. That many thousands of years before, Christ died on the cross for that boy. And he entered into solidarity with each one of us who were brutally used by others or abused by others. Those who experienced the most horrific things in their lives. Jesus is one with them. He has gone there before you in your suffering. And so it's true, he was there with that boy, but Eli didn't know. And how true it is that sometimes people will lose their faith because of dire suffering that happens in their personal lives. And who could point an accusing finger at that? But we tonight celebrate the truth that there is hope in the midst of suffering. That nothing can happen, no matter how great the catastrophe is. It can always become a source of grace and hope and goodness that can be drawn from it. That's what we celebrate. Because when Jesus was slammed against that cross, the most innocent one of all, so brutally tortured, both bodily and spiritually, but from that, because of his trust and obedience in the Father, there came the greatest source and flow of grace that's ever happened in the human race, our salvation. So my friends, let's give thanks tonight for the loving Father God who sent his only Son to us so that he would die on the cross for our sake, to deal with sin once and for all, and to open up the way for each one of us in whatever suffering we have to go through in this life, to find hope and to find a way through because of what he has accomplished on our behalf. And bless his name.